yeah, that's right, he's a motherfucking G, yeah.
Welcome back to the Bruce Allen Show with Dad's Point of View. It is time for therapy talk with Dr. Jennifer Weberman. Now, I need everybody to write and email Dr. Weberman and tell her she must get a smartphone. Excuse me? What is with this? You don't have a smartphone.
I outed myself. I really did. I'm going to get one before she comes, I promise.
She's going to have a baby in 7 weeks. She better get it. Her baby's going to know how to use it before she does. Hello?
I've been resisting it for so long.
You can't anymore. Now that you're going to be a parent, it really is part of your life. I'm totally serious. Not to mention the very minimum, just the camera and the video access is really valuable. So very
Absolutely.
Quickly, Dr. Weberman is a psychologist and parent coach. She's got over a decade of experience helping children and teens, and she's now about to realize that none of that matters because she's going to become a parent herself, and she's going to find out all that expertise doesn't matter. The moment her kid's crying, she's got to find a way to comfort her. And so speaking of that, 7 weeks more, how are we doing?
So you're saying I'm going to eat my words in a few weeks? Is that what you're saying?
You're just going to find out that all the knowledge in the world doesn't always give you the answer. It's you got to fly by the seat of the pants. At least you'll know the resources. You'll come to it more prepared than most. But you'll have your share of surprises.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I can't wait for that.
All right.
So,
how are we feeling?
She's doing fantastically. Tomorrow will be 33 weeks. I can't believe it. I'm still in a little bit of shock. That means we have 7 weeks left, ideally. And even though she's doing phenomenally, mommy is not doing so fantastically this week. It is getting so uncomfortable. She's kicking up a storm to the point where now my ribs are bruised.
Oh, God, really? Are they really bruised?
I mean, I had to wear an ACE bandage around my rib cage for the past couple of days.
Oh, no.
And then I got a head cold, so every time I coughed and sneezed, my ribs were aching. So I'm falling apart. I'm slowly falling apart. But you know what? I got to tell you, every time I'm feeling just about as miserable, and because the worst thing, I mean, the strongest thing you can take is Tylenol, so that really doesn't do anything to relieve the discomfort. But every time I'm feeling miserable, and then I feel her move inside of me, there's just this sense of purpose to it all that doesn't make it any more comfortable, but something about having a purpose to the discomfort makes it so worthwhile that I know that I'm not going to remember any of this after she comes.
That's the amazing thing that happens. I mean, otherwise, if parents or moms in particular really remembered the pain of their pregnancy and their birth, why would they ever have a second kid? Yeah, there'd be only one kid. So that's an amazing thing that is built into your DNA. It's a miracle, and it's a necessary one. You know, Dr. Weberman, I haven't seen a single photograph of you pregnant. I want to see one with that belly.
Ooh,
come on.
I'll have Jason send one on his phone because Jason has a smartphone.
Well, I don't care if it's on a phone. Just email it to me. I want to see one of you pregnant.
Yeah, it's cute. It's like, a cute little belly.
Yes. Well, is it little or is it big?
Well, it's definitely getting big, but I think because I'm so small, someone told me I look like an olive on a stick.
That's funny. Did you gain a lot of weight? I mean, I've never asked you.
I have gained over 30 pounds.
Oh, okay. So that's a serious amount. And given that you weighed 92 to begin with, that's 1/3 of your weight.
Yeah, I basically gained about 1/3 of my weight. So I feel it when I go up and down stairs and I get winded. I'm like, good Lord, it's like carrying a couple of bowling balls with you.
It
where
is.
You go.
It is. You're not being funny. If you put a backpack in and you put 2 15-pound weights in it, that's what you're carrying around every
that's
minute
what
of
I'm carrying
the day.
Around. Oh, my goodness. It's amazing what the human body can do.
It is indeed. Well, let's move on. You said you read an article that you thought was quite interesting in the Huffington Post, which I have not read. So tell me what it's about and why you think it's of interest.
Oh, well, you know, not just the article is of interest, but the reactions to the article. The article was printed maybe about 2 weeks ago, and it's titled 10 Reasons Why Handheld Devices Should Be Banned for Children Under the Age of 12. And it was written by Chris Rowan, who's an occupational therapist, who apparently is very outspoken. She's an author and a speaker about technology and how dangerous it is for children. And she wrote this article, and she linked technology to so many different issues, developmental delays, attention deficits, psychosis, autism, attachment disorders, obesity, aggression, addiction, sleep conditions. I mean, she made it sound like it was the most dangerous thing in the world. And she says it should be completely banned. And so, of course, the backlash was, I mean, some people were writing in favor of her, you know, just advocating what she was advocating. And then some people went the opposite and advocated for the use of technology and the benefits. And it just, it left a lot of the parents that I work with confused. You know, when you see these alarmist kinds of reactions and quoting research, which makes it sound a little bit more legitimate, a lot of parents are asking themselves, you know, what is the right balance? What should I be doing? Should I be concerned?
Right there is the answer. Right there is the answer.
The word balance.
Balance.
Moderation.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. I agree with you wholeheartedly. I'm a realist, just like you. And you can't keep this out of children's hands, because the whole future is going to be based on technology. And children are future leaders and inventors and entrepreneurs, and they're going to need to know how to incorporate technology into their work and into their lives. So banning it doesn't make any sense. But at the same time, what we're doing right now probably isn't the best scenario either, which is an overuse of technology. So I thought I'd talk today about how to find that balance.
At the very least, you and I come from a faith that offers, I think, a solution. Okay? In Judaism, there's something called Shabbat. And if people would actually observe Shabbat, whether religiously or not, Shabbat, the idea is you turn it off for 24 hours, from Friday night to Saturday night, from Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. If I could do it, if you could do it, if we could all do it, eventually when you get the smartphone, you'll do it with your smartphone. That alone would be, if 1/7 of our week we could be offline, I think it would be a huge step forward.
Have you ever observed Shabbat in that way and turned off your gadgets?
I've done it a lot on just Friday nights. When the kids were young, there was no TV, no tech, nothing on a Friday night. We had a meal together. We played board games. We talked. And there was no phones, no anything. Never would do it the whole day the next day. But I did do it for at least that one evening. And I swear, that one evening alone was great. Now, we don't allow phones at the dinner table either. Now, the boys are older and not home as much, but they were never allowed except on occasion at the dinner table. And I think parents have a big vote in how much technology is abused and used.
Oh, absolutely. And they're setting an example, too, because we talk about children being addicted to technology, but we all know that adults have the same kinds of struggles as children do.
Absolutely.
And so it's hard to teach balance when you're not living a balanced life. I think there's a lot of ways that we can limit it in healthy ways, but also embrace it in healthy ways. Because technology affords children opportunities that if I had as a child, I would have had a field day with. I mean, there are so many interesting apps and programs on the phones that I've seen children make music videos for themselves. You know, they just have a little camera on the phone and they videotape themselves, and then they use some sort of app to edit it and add special effects to it, and they make it all, like, put a soundtrack on it. I would have loved something like that. I used to have a microphone and a tape recorder, and I would interview my stuffed animals, and I would do little shows, and I would make up songs. And if I had something like that, I would have gone to town with it. You could also go on YouTube and look up videos that teach kids how to do rainbow looming or knitting, and that's what a lot of these kids use these things for. So that's a little bit different than spending 2 hours playing Angry Birds. So
well,
part
or,
of it is, like, what are you using it for?
Yeah, or just, yes, again, it's not just balance, it's what you're using it for. And I think the big problem is that a lot of, when it's interactive, I feel a lot better than when it's just reactive. It's the difference between watching television and playing a video game. Now, if the video game is non-violent or not ugly violence, at least there's some interaction. If you're talking and texting with somebody, it's better than just watching. Again, it's about balance. And I think parents have to limit screen time. And screen time applies to about 6 or 7 different things where we have screens. It's not just the phone, although the phone is becoming dominant. When my kids were young, it was less the phone. It was more video games, computers, television, and all that were the screens. Yep. Now it's all that, plus the phone being probably the dominant tech device. Mm-hmm.
And the iPad and the tablets and all
right,
that.
Right, right, right.
There's so many different kinds of gadgets, and I absolutely agree that having a set amount that your kids are exposed to during the day, but don't forget, during school days now, even on the elementary level, they're using smart screens to teach. So they're getting screen time in school. So whatever you're doing for your child after school is in addition to what they're getting during the school day. So
my
my
high school junior is texting me all day long at school. I mean, I don't even think about the time of day when I want to ask him something, because within a half hour, he'll have a break. He'll check his phone if not doing it in class, which I don't think he's doing that much in class. But like, he does a lot of drama and choir stuff, and they're not very strict in how they do that. There's rehearsals, you know, so he's not doing something at the moment. He'll have his phone out. I don't think the teachers are very strict on that.
And that's a whole other conversation I can have about how children who are going off to college are not separating fully because they're so connected via text messaging to their parents that that cord, the umbilical cord, is not getting cut as cleanly as it used to. But that's a whole other conversation.
Are there any, we have 2 minutes left, are there any tips or list items that you've prepared regarding this?
I think, you know, in addition to limiting the amount of time, also the context that it's being used in. So keep it out of their bedrooms at night. It really does have an impact on sleep. I know a lot of these kids are using it as an alarm clock now, but just be mindful
yes.
of that, because not only just having it next to them in the nightstand has an effect, but the temptation to check text messages and things like that is too strong, and a lot of these kids are really getting sleep deprived the next day at school. Not during meals, or any time where conversation and eye contact is appropriate. So when greeting people, you know, when having meals together, you know, a lot of kids I see that are on devices. When I go to say hello to them, they say hi to me while they're staring at the device. And that means they're not using it appropriately, and that needs to be encouraged, or discouraged, I should say.
Discouraged, right.
I would say if your kids are playing outside in addition to using screens and they're doing pretend games and using creative toys or reading books in addition to, then you don't have to worry about things like obesity and the social skills and all of that, because they're getting a fine balance of it. So it's not just turning off the screens, but actually replacing those items with things that are healthy. And I would say the last thing that I would throw in there is that really pay attention to your child's reaction when you unplug them from screens, because not all children are the same. And so if they have a really awful reaction, if they throw a fit, if they tantrum, or they just sort of look lost, like they don't know how to entertain themselves when they're not on a screen, then that's something for you to be mindful of, that maybe your child needs even less than what, you know, the American Pediatric Association says is typical, which is no more than 2 hours a day. Maybe that kind of child needs a little bit less, maybe just on the weekends and not during the week, so they can learn to sort of entertain themselves and not have that unhealthy reaction.
Yeah, something really novel, like imagination. We're out of time. We're out of time, Dr. Weberman. Where can my listeners find you?
I blog at theparentingplayground.com. We have a Facebook page under the same name, and the new website that I launched is transformationstherapycenter.com, and it's all about my practice, and it has lots of great radio show segments that we've done over the past year and a half. And on Twitter, I'm dr_Weberman.
Excellent. Well, enjoy the play tonight. We'll miss you at Dad Chat, and I see you still haven't sent me the link to your site. Send that to me so I can check it out. And these messages for some closing comments. Dr. Weberman, are you there?